Leslie, thank you very much indeed for leading us in our reading. Let's pray as we come to God's word together. Lord, we thank you that in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have called us to be members of your church, for those saints who are here on earth and those who have gone before us on the journey of faith. I pray that now as we look at your word, you would speak to us by your Holy Spirit and equip us for the journey of faith. Strengthen us now, we pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So today, as we think about All Saints' Day, it's worthwhile asking the simple question, who are saints? Now, the answer actually might surprise you. According to the New Testament, if you believe and trust in Christ, you are a saint. Do you feel like a saint today? As you brushed your hair, as you got dressed, as you had your breakfast, you are a saint. Now, I think one of the dangers, perhaps, of Christianity that's come before us is that they had a very developed sense of a hierarchy of saints. So there was the normal Christians who go to church at the bottom. Then as you work your way up, people got holier and holier, and they believed that they had a spiritual power, that you could pray to some of these saints and they'd actually help you in your life. I suppose as the Reformation happened in the 16th century, things actually changed. We began to realize that actually if we come to God directly, why would we need necessarily to come through some of the saints? So before that, you would think about going to St. Christopher if you were going on a journey. You go to St. Barbara if you worked in a mine. You would go to St. Apollyanna if you had a toothache. And so there was all these different saints for all these different things. Now, we need to remember a really important point. When Jesus died, which we remember at Easter time, the curtain in the temple was torn from top to bottom, from heaven to earth. It was the thickness of a man's hand. It was a huge curtain, and it was torn right down the middle as Christ died. Now, why did that happen? Jesus died so we can have access to God through the cross. We don't need to go through any other mediator. We don't need to go through any other person. We can come directly to God through the Son in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's really important to remind ourselves this morning as we come to All Saints. We are the saints. In Christ, we are saints. And you see this thread going all the way through the New Testament. Paul, in his letters, was really clear. To the Romans, he wrote this. To all who are beloved of God in Rome, called as saints. When he wrote to the church in Corinth, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth with all the saints. Again, to the church in Ephesus, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints. So that's what we're thinking about today. How is it God has called us to be members of his worldwide global church of saints gathered around the throne? You see, in God's sight, we are holy. Not because we live a perfect life, not because we try really hard, but again, when Jesus died on the cross, all our sinfulness, all the sinfulness and darkness of this world gets placed on his shoulders and taken away. And instead, on the other side, all his goodness, all his wonderful beauty and holiness comes to us and gets credited to our account. So when God sees us, he sees the righteousness and holiness of Jesus. Therefore, we are all saints together. So what are we to make then of all the Christians who have gone before us in the faith? We must have reverence and respect. You know, every time I come into this church, I see the vicar's boards there on the left and on the right. It's those wooden tablets with all the lists of the vicars going back to the 13th century. And it's always quite a humbling experience for me as a minister. It reminds me that there's good people who have gone before me. There'll be people who come after me. I'm just one in a long line of saints who've been ministers in this place. And we have to remind ourselves, there's great people who have gone before us. Prophets, patriarchs, apostles, evangelists, martyrs, they are now in heaven before us, constantly worshipping and praising God. And you see that through something like the Advent wreath. Do you remember, as we start thinking about Advent at the end of November, we think about lighting candles to remind ourselves of the prophets, the patriarchs, John the Baptist, Mary, all leading us to Jesus. In a few moments' time in our liturgy, we'll be saying, "So we gladly thank you, and with the whole company of heaven we sing." You see, as we meet together in this place in Gloucestershire today, our voices, our worship, joins together with those who are praising God in heaven. And that's a wonderful sense that we're all in this together. Corporately, we're worshiping God with all those in heaven. And Revelation gives us just a little glimpse, if you like. It just pulls up the edge of the curtain so we can see directly into the throne room of heaven. We have angels, elders, four living creatures, as well as this great multicultural crowd gathered around the throne of God, praising him forever. Mind you, at least they can sing. They don't have to hum behind a mask. But we pray that these things are not going to be forever. One day, our voices will be loosed again to worship God. You know, sometimes as we gather together, our praises can seem very small, very insignificant. Maybe we seem a little bit out of touch, not very fashionable as we come to a church to worship God. But actually, this gives us a perspective. This heavenly worship is actually the reality. It's actually the most important thing on earth. There's nothing more important in our lives than glorifying God and coming before him in praise and worship. After all, as human beings, that's what we're created for. We're created in the image of God to worship God, our Creator. Let me take your mind back to Hebrews chapter 11. It's that great roll call, if you like, of faith. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Jacob. And it goes through all these great characters in the past. And it finishes by saying this: "The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. They were all commended for their faith, yet not one of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, that only together with us would they be made perfect." And as it goes into the next chapter, it says these wonderful words: "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let's run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith." I wonder if we have a sense this morning that we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Sometimes we can see them in the stained glass windows all around us in this church. This church is named after St. Lawrence, who gave up his life in the Roman church for the sake of the gospel. We are not in this alone. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses that we need to learn from. I wonder if we look at some of these characters on the screen, do they encourage us? Can we recognize some of these great saints of the past, and indeed a few who are still living? It is possible, when we look to the people of the past, that we can live a life of faith through plague, through famine, through war, through terrible hard times. We can actually do it. And as we go through the past, as we see people like David, he sinned greatly, yet he could be used by God. Jonah was the disobedient prophet. God called him in one direction, he went directly in the other. Yet God still used him. Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mary Magdalene. We can learn from them. I can personally say I've been greatly encouraged by some of the people on this screen. Down the bottom left-hand corner, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was martyred by the Nazi regime in the 1940s for daring to stand up against that regime. Beside him, Jackie Pullinger, who had a great missionary effort to drug addicts in the walled city in Hong Kong. Beside Jackie Pullinger, down the bottom in the middle, is Charles Simeon, a great minister of the gospel at Holy Trinity Church in Cambridge, who was there for nearly 40 or 50 years worshipping God, preaching the gospel, bringing people to hear him. Through him, great missionary efforts started around the world. Who is it, I wonder, who helped you in the faith? I wonder if anyone here came to faith through a crusade through Billy Graham, down the bottom on the right. Have you encouraged by the writings of John Piper, a Baptist? What about the writings of Corrie ten Boom? Who is it, I wonder, who's actually encouraged you in the faith, this great cloud of witnesses who have gone before us? We need to be thankful to God that we are not alone. We are all together in Christ. And see, in both Ephesians chapter 4 and 1 Corinthians 12, it uses this image of a body. We are all together in the body of Christ. You might be a small bit like an eyebrow or a toenail, or you might be a bicep, a head, an ear, whatever it might be. You are part of the body of Christ. Not just an individual believer. We're brought together with all saints to be in the body of Christ. It's good to know that we're part of something much bigger than ourselves. And that's what it means when we talk about the one Catholic Church. We're part of the whole body of Christ when we meet together. And of course, this transcends death. There's a body of believers across time and space who have gone before us. Sometimes we talk about the church triumphant, those who have gone before us already in the faith. And we talk about ourselves as the church militant, those who are still here on earth. Do you feel militant this morning? We're still alive. We've still got a job here to do, a task here on earth to build up the kingdom of God and be encouraged that those who have gone before us. And as you think back over your life, who has played a really prominent role? Was it a parent or a grandparent who led you in the Christian faith? Maybe a godmother or a godfather? Was there a teacher maybe in your school? Was there a minister who helped you in your faith? Maybe a particular author or writer who encouraged you to take a stand for the gospel and to give your life to Christ? On All Saints' Day, we give life, we give thanks for those who have gone before us and who have helped us in our faith. Let's think then about our Bible reading, Revelation chapter 7. Sorry that's not terribly in focus, but you can get the idea. A great multitude of believers dressed in white with palm branches around the throne. And here is a great multitude. This is not a small thing. This is a great army growing larger all the time. This is not a little hobby or pastime lived out in some obscure corner. This is the great church of Jesus Christ, gathered together, worshipping around the throne. And here's people from every nation, tribe, people, language. There's no restrictions. From every background, from every ethnicity, people are coming to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And we might look at them and say, well, what they have in common? Rich, poor, black, white, young, old. What have they got in common? They're all trusting in Christ. And I think this is a powerful picture that we need to hold on to when we think about the church. And there'll be people too from Lechlade, from Highworth, from Fairford even. There'll be people from all different places coming together to worship God. We're part of something much greater. And did you notice they're carrying palm branches? See, this is a heavenly uniform. It signifies that they've been martyred. It tells us in the book of Revelation that there is a great tribulation for all who have gone through a time of persecution. Revelation was partly written to encourage believers to persevere despite real suffering at the hands of the Romans. You know, when I was 18 years of age, I went interrailing with some friends around Europe. And one of the most poignant sights was coming to Rome. And there with my friends, we stood in the Colosseum. And I had such a forceful sense that 2,000 years before, Christians, my brothers and sisters in Christ, died for their faith in this place. Actually, it's very humbling to be in those sort of places and realize people have laid down their lives. One of the church fathers said, the blood of the martyrs is the seedbed of the church. And that's true. Those who have gone before us have given up their lives. They have prepared the way for us. And there's a real contrast in this reading between the death of the martyrs and for those who now have eternal rest in heaven. If you see there in our reading, verse 15, they'll be sheltered. God will spread his tent over them. Isn't that a wonderful picture? They will not be naked, abused, isolated. God will spread his tent over them to cover them. Verse 16, they will never be hungry or thirsty or scorched by the heat. They will be protected and cared for by their heavenly Father. Jesus the Lamb, enthroned in heaven, will be their shepherd, and he will lead them to springs of living water. And even more than that, he will wipe away every tear from their eye. Because on that day, when they receive glory in heaven, there will be no more crime, no more violence, no more disease or pandemics, no more heartache, no more suffering. God will wipe away every tear from their eye. And again, this is the pattern we see. Suffering in this life, glory in the next. You see, our heaven will be a glorious homecoming, a place of comfort, joy, and rest. You see, the church holds out a hand. It is the hand of Jesus Christ, with an invitation to come, follow me. Come to those wonderful living waters. Come to my rest. Come to eternal peace with me. And as we go into another lockdown, there are people who are anxious, people who are worried, people who want peace, people who want to know there's a meaning and significance in life. And we need to hold out that hand of the gospel and invite people to come to Christ, to put their trust in him. I wonder if we will be part of that great message today. May we never tire of pointing people to the love of Jesus and to the church of which he is the head. Shall we pray? Worthy is the Lamb that was slaughtered, to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honour and glory and blessing. Father, we thank you that in the Lord Jesus Christ we have life, eternal life. We thank you for this wonderful glimpse of heaven. We thank you for that great host gathered around the throne, praising you for eternity. And we thank you that our praise and worship this morning is caught up with theirs as we worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, please help us as individuals and as a church family to reach out to those around us with the good news of Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to live that life. Help us to share those words of hope, of life, and of love. Lord, strengthen us for that mission, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.